بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I am thankful to the organizers of this beautiful function for giving me the opportunity to share my views in this learned audience. Now, the topic for this evening is coexistence. According to my experience, coexistence is not an option for us. Instead, it is a compulsion. There is no other way to exist in this world except with this formula. Coexistence is the only way of existence in this world. This is my experience and my study. And then I can say that this is not a secular formula. Coexistence is not a secular formula, it is a natural formula. So it is also Islamic formula. Because Islam is a religion of nature. Islam is a religion of nature. So the formula of coexistence is also a formula of Islam. There is a very relevant reference in the Quran to this effect. That is, As-sulhu khair. As-sulhu khair. It means peaceful adjustment is the best. Peaceful adjustment is the best. This is the Quranic reference. Then the Sufi formula in this regard is the same. That is, in Persian, Sulh-e-Kul. Sulh-e-Kul means peace with all. Peace with all. So this is the coexistence. Coexistence means living with others without problem, without confrontation, without fighting. This is a coexistence. Here I can say that why we need this formula? Because our world is a world of difference. The whole universe is full of differences. I remember Sri Guru Golwalkar. He said that nature abhors uniformity. This is the saying of Guru Golwalkar ji. Nature abhors uniformity. It means that uniformity is not the way of nature. Nature created our universe with differences. Everywhere there are differences. So the best formula of life is to know the art of difference management rather than art of eliminating the difference. You cannot eliminate the differences. So you have to live with differences. This is the art of difference management. Here I would like to narrate a story from the American history. is very illustrative story. When America gained freedom, so what happened? When American went out from his house, he was walking on the street, throwing his hand hither and thither, like this. So he hit his hand to a nose of some passerby. This passerby said, "What is this nonsense? Why you hit my nose? Why you hit my nose?" The American said, "Today I am free. I am enjoying my freedom." That American said, "My brother, freedom has some limitations. Absolute freedom is nothing." He said, "Your freedom ends where my nose begins. Your freedom ends where my nose begins." So this is the coexistence formula. This is the formula of freedom. There was a professor, American professor, he published a book. The title was, "We can't afford freedom." Here freedom means absolute freedom. So I believe that we have to know the art of difference management. Don't try to eliminate the differences. They're beyond your capacity. That's beyond your capacity. Here I would like to quote a verse from the Quran. According to my study, Islam greatly believes in adjustment. In adjustment. So there is a verse in the Quran. "Lakum deenukum waliyadeen." For you, your religion. For me, mine. For you, your religion. For me, mine. Now, what it means? It means, in other words, follow one and respect all. This is a simple formula. This is a simple Quranic formula. For you, your religion, for me, mine means follow one and respect all. This is a coexistence. Then, there are so many references in the Quran and Hadith. Here, I would like to refer some references. For example, Quran says, according to Quran, coexistence is the universal formula. It is simply a social formula, universal formula. The whole universe has adopted the same formula. So Quran says, لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَيْلِ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. This is the Quranic verse. It means that, you see, the space, there are numerous and countless stars and planets in the space. And all the astronomical bodies, all the stars, all the planets are in moving. But all astronomical bodies are moving on their own orbit. On their own orbit. So there is no clash. No clash between these astronomical bodies. No clash between stars. No clash between planets. لَشَّمْ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَيْلِ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ كُلُّنَ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Every astronomical body. Every star and planets are moving, but in their own orbits. This is the universal model of coexistence. Universal model of coexistence. Everyone is free, but everyone must know that freedom has also some limitations. You are free to revolve, but in your own orbit. You are not allowed to enter into other orbits. So this is the universal formula of coexistence. And the same formula is applicable to human society also. That is as-sulh khair. Peaceful adjustment is the best. So what is required in space is also required in human society. What a beautiful expression of coexistence. Then I can say, according to Islam, there are two forms of coexistence. Two forms of coexistence. One I can say, undeclared coexistence. And the second, declared coexistence. What is undeclared coexistence? It is that way of existence which is adopted by every mu'min, every Muslim, every believer. There is a hadith, Prophet of Islam has said, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُمِنُوا وَاللَّهِ لَا يُمِنُوا وَاللَّهِ لَا يُمِنُوا الَّذِي لَا يَعْمَنُوا جَارُهُ بَوَائِقُوا. It means that a true Muslim is one who refrains himself from creating problem to others. So when you adopt this policy that you are not going to create problem for others, that is undeclared coexistence. It is your daily routine. There is a hadith in this regard, Al Muslimu man salaman nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. Muslim is one by whose hands and tongue people are safe. A true Muslim is one by whose hands and tongue people are safe. It means that true Muslim is a harmless person. A true Muslim is a harmless person, harmless. لا ضرر ولا ضرار في الإسلام. So a true Muslim is a harmless person. He is a peaceful member of society. So it's an undeclared coexistence. This is adopted by every Muslim. If he is a true Muslim, if he is a true Muslim, so this is, he must adopt this formula. Without declaration, without announcement. No announcement is needed for this formula. You have to follow this principle in your home, in your mahalla, in your city, in your country, everywhere. Even during journey to your co-passengers. You have to refrain yourself from creating problem for others. You have to live as a harmless person, as a peaceful person. So this is what I say, undeclared coexistence. Without declaration, without announcement, you have to adopt this formula. You have to keep this formula. Then, what is declared coexistence. Here I will refer the peace agreement of Hudaybiyah. Peace agreement of Hudaybiyah. You know, Prophet of Islam was born in Mecca. He started his mission in Mecca, but people turned hostile. They became enemy to his mission. So there was a lot of difficulties. Then what happened? Prophet migrated from Mecca and settled in Medina. This was coexistence. There were two options for Prophet. One, fighting, and the other, migration. When Meccan people became enemy, so there were two options for Prophet. Either fight a wage of war against those Meccan people or migrate from Mecca peacefully. So Prophet opted for migration rather than fighting. This was a great example of coexistence. Then what happened? When Prophet migrated and settled in Medina, then Meccan people became hostile again. They waged war. They started fighting. There were some battles, like Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud. Then Prophet entered into a negotiation with those Meccan people. There was negotiation up to 2 weeks at Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is a place near Mecca. So Prophet started negotiations, dialogue. After a long discussion, he was able to finalize an agreement. Then what was this agreement? This agreement was a no war pact. Prophet accepted unilaterally all those conditions presented by those Meccan people. He accepted all those conditions unilaterally. For what purpose? To finalize a peace agreement. So there was a peace agreement between Meccan people and Medina people. In this agreement, it was mentioned that from this date, there will be no war between Meccan and Medina people. So it was declared coexistence. After announcement, after declaration, after agreement, Muslim adopted a formula of coexistence. So I recited 2 examples, primarily Muslims. One is a proof that Muslims have adopted an undeclared form of coexistence. And then the Hudaybiyah agreement is a proof that Prophet adopted a declared form of coexistence also. These 2 formulas cover all those aspects of life. So this is the true Islam. This is the true Islam. Now you see so many news items of jihad and fighting. You can say then, if Islam believes it coexistence, then why this fighting? I can say, again I will give a formula. You have to adopt a formula. What is that formula? You have to differentiate between Islam and Muslims. You have to judge Muslims in the light of Islamic teachings. For example, we are living in India. Here you know that there is a constitution. But you know there are so many corruptions in administration, in bureaucracy. So if you want to know what is the ideological position of India, you have to see the constitution rather than society, rather than bureaucracy. So you have to differentiate between constitution and bureaucracy. Otherwise, you will fail to do justice with India. Maybe Indian bureaucracy is corrupted, but our constitution is very, very good constitution at the same time. So if you want to do justice with India, you have to differentiate between constitution and the bureaucracy. So is the case of Islam. So is the case of Islam. You have to differentiate between Muslims and Islam. Islam is an ideology, a religion, a set of principles. Islam is based on Quran and Hadith, sacred books, revealed books. But Muslims are a society. They claim that we are followers of Islam. They themselves are not Islam. Muslims are not Islam. Muslims claim that we are followers of Islam. So you have to judge their claim by saying the Quran and Hadith. So it is very, very necessary to differentiate between Islam and Muslims. You have to judge Muslims in the light of Islamic teachings and not vice versa. There are so many stories that Muslims hate non-Muslims. You have heard so many stories. But all these stories are false. False in the sense that this is not according to the Quran teachings. I'm not saying that Muslims are free from hate. I'm not saying this. I am saying that it is not, hate is not a Quranic teaching. Enmity is not a Quranic teaching. Here I will give a very relevant example. As I earlier said that Prophet of Islam was born in Mecca, then he migrated to Medina. At that time, there were some Jewish tribes in Medina. Prophet migrated to Medina in 622. So at that time, there were some Jewish tribes in Medina. So what happened? One day, Prophet of Islam saw a funeral procession. Janaze ka julus, a funeral procession passing through a street in Medina. A funeral procession passing through a street in Medina. Then what happened? On seeing the funeral, Prophet stood up in respect. At that time he was sitting. When he saw the funeral, he stood up in respect of that human body. So one of his companions said, "Oh Prophet, here is the true picture of Islam. Here you can say you can see the true picture of Islam. When Prophet stood up in respect, one of his companions said, "O Prophet, it was funeral of a Jew, not a Muslim. It was funeral of a non-Muslim, not funeral of a Muslim." Then Prophet said, "Here is the true spirit of Islam." Prophet said, "Alaysat nafsan, alaysat nafsan, was he not a human being?" This story you can read in Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari. Was he not a human being? So, in this story, you can find that Prophet of Islam discovered a commonality between himself and that Jewish body. A commonality. What was that commonality? That was, I am a human being and he is also a human being. Both are human beings. Both were created from God. Both are creation of God. Both are human beings. Alaysat nafsan, was he not a human being? So Prophet discovered a commonality between the two. And that commonality was based on this formula, that both are human beings. Both are insan. Both are insan. From this, I can say that Islamic behavior is insan-friendly behavior, human-friendly behavior. Islamic behavior is human-friendly behavior. Just like a businessman. You know a businessman? Who is businessman? Who adopts customer-friendly behavior. Every businessman knows that I must adopt this formula, customer-friendly behavior. So is the case of Islam. Every Muslim must adopt this formula, insan-friendly behavior, human-friendly behavior. You have to pay respect to all human beings. You have to pay respect to all human beings. This is the true spirit of Islam. This is the true spirit of Islam. Now, I would like to say a few words about jihad, all those fightings. Now people, there is a grave misunderstanding that Islam is a religion of jihad, is of fighting. You know, London Times published an article with the caption about Islam. The caption was, "A religion that sanctions violence." A religion that sanctions violence. It was wrong. You can say that Muslim community sanctions violence. Maybe it is true. But it's wrong to say that Islam sanctions violence. You know what is the law of war in Islam? What is the law of war in Islam? I will say a few words about this because there is grave misunderstanding. First of all, I can say that jihad has nothing to do with fighting. Jihad means to strive, to struggle. So jihad is peaceful struggle. Peaceful struggle for a noble cause, that is jihad. Jihad has nothing to do with fighting. There is another word for fighting, that is qatal. In Islam, in Quran you find two different words, jihad and qatal. Jihad means peaceful struggle. Qatal means fighting, war. Then, sometime in extended sense, they use the word jihad. But literally it means peaceful struggle. So, what is the law of war in Islam? First of all, you have to know that war is a prerogative of an established state. Only state can declare a war. No organizations other than state are allowed to go to war. It is very important to know that no organizations other than state are allowed to go to war. So, according to this, guerrilla war, proxy war, undeclared war, aggressive war, all these wars are unlawful in Islam. Only defensive war is permitted in Islam. Defensive war. Defensive war by state. So this is the principle of, this is the law of war in Islam. This is the principle of war in Islam. All those organizations who are fighting, they must adopt peaceful method. That not allowed to go to war. If they have some grievances, if they have some differences, if they find some problem, they must keep peaceful method, that not allowed to go to war, because war is ar-rahilu lil imam. Is a formula of Islam, ar-rahilu lil imam. To declare a war is a prerogative of a government or a state. So, this is the concept of peace in Islam. This is the concept of coexistence in Islam. And this is the concept of war in Islam. According to my study, my experience, best expression of Islamic principle is found in Sufi formula, Sulh Kul, peace with all. Peace with all. So, thank you very much for this patient hearing. I pray God to bless you forever. Thank you.
Friends, we heard a very interesting lecture with illustrations and stories. We have understood the true spirit of any religion, for that matter. Before I invite you to take any clarifications, I would like to share just one small thing that I read recently about an instance that a tourist who is traveling all over the world is going to every country and is finding one gold telephone, and there is written $1,000 per minute. So the tourist was inquiring as to what is his greatness about this telephone. Maybe gold, but we are not taking away that, so why do you charge so much? Then the answer was, you can speak directly to God from this telephone. That's why so much. Then he traveled to so many other countries. Everywhere, something equal to this $1,000 was the rate per minute, per call. then he was pleasantly shocked and he asked, how is it? It is so cheap, so inexpensive, whereas in other countries it is very costly. The answer was, you can directly talk to God, but God stays in India. He resides in India, so we charge local rates. So India is a great country where so many people with different religions coexist peacefully. And here all of us have assembled. This is a live example. And all of us are interested in peace. At the same time, we also would like to learn certain things from people like Maulana Mahiruddin. So I request the audience, after that the Hanuman Library addresses you, to seek any clarifications if you have. Please raise the point directly and then you can have the clarification. Thank you very much, and Dr. Hanuman Chandra. Oh. And he is distributing the slips. You can just write down your question or whatever you would like to ask without. I request that I not join the question. Thank you.
Thanks. We have had an excellent, agreeable, pleasant exposition of what food is like.
कभी समझ हम दिक्कत
पे थे 350,000 हिंदू पंडित अपन थे देन इंफ्लेक्स पहले किस बात देन वही इन साइप्रस दी नॉन ईस्ट पार्ट ऑफ साइप्रस एंड रेस्ट इज ग्रीक आफ्टर ऑफ क्रिश्चियन एंड इस मुस्लिम हाय देन दिस अपरेशन देन द आमुल फूड हाय इन यूगोस्लाविया In Kosovo, again, under small area where the Muslims are 90%, but for part of Yugoslavia, like in color, same race, same language, find the one is happening. These are the things which come. Fine. It's not in one place. And if there is something in Palestine or somewhere else, why is it? I say, really, I chance to see Martin Lee while going from one room to another. There is an interview. The interviewer of Martin Lee was asking the DJS chief of Hyderabad, why is it that every Friday to Bhagavad? Then the DJS chief said, hey, what are you talking? There are 52 Fridays in India. And how many Fridays was there disturbance in Hyderabad? Then the interviewer asked him, why is it that after the prayers, immediately in the neighborhood, people under poverty were again? What is? What happened in Denmark? Or what was she doing in Iraq? Iraq has got to be the Hindus over here. Why is it? The answer was, we have got troubles. There is industry for us. Some of us are angry, and therefore they are doing, of course, it's wrong. I don't support, but that's why they are doing it. Now, it is this type of thing which troubles the people who are wanting coexistence. In this great country, we have welcomed everybody's arrival. The persecuted Jews came, the persecuted Iranians came, and earlier, the Bactrians, the Scythians, the Greeks, so many people came. All of them came peacefully. The smallest minority of the Marxists are the Jews. And smaller are the Iranians and Persians. But why is it that we love this? This is what comes. And I know that I read Quran for 1.5 years and I was in I was working in the United Nations to give the offer time. And I pay, of course. So during that time, I read Quran. The very Quran. There are passages which can be interpreted both ways, just like the past, some people interpreting the internal struggle, the peaceful struggle, and some others. So what my request to learned people like you, like so many other Muslim friends here, is that that which conduces to coexistence, that which conduces to peace between communities, that which conduces to pluralism, as your morality has said, God has built the best differences. nature, that is not what we want to be. Even the same roses, different colors, different sizes. So, when God experiences so much plurality, why is it that I believe that might be the message of my God to be peace, that everyone should become Christian? Everyone should become Christian. And the Christian believes that if he goes on that path, and if the Christian believes in this path, and he says, I will become a deliverer to the Christian. So it is not possible. Therefore, my appeal to you is that what the United Nations Economic and Social and Cultural Society, UNESCO, is called, the beautiful two lines, the seeds of war are planted in the minds of men. The seeds of war are planted in the minds of men. Therefore, the defenses for peace must be built in the minds of men. And then you will. It is in Madrasa, it is in the home, it is in the mosque, it is in the temple, it is in the church. Then you have to build the defenses of peace. So what is the type of education that we give in the religious schools, in the homes that we are living? This is what is important. I want to pray. I wish that there are 1,000 Maulanas like him. And what Maulana has said is only a dream. It's only a dream. But only a passionate sentence and not a proof that you meant, that you hope. And once again pray that 1,000 Maulanas, just like the great Moses in the sense, that the different schools of thought and faith, and in the rain, how the flowers bloom. That's what God has been. God said to say this wonderfully, but we can allow it in practice, not in the church. Do we read something? Do we believe something? And do we do something else? Everybody has put this question. That's why in my lecture, in the Hindu Sanskriti, we say Tirkarana Shuddhi. That is, Shuddhi, the total cleanliness, total confidence within my heart, if I walk and if I read. If I walk, that is what I read. And what I speak and what I do, that is Tirkarana Shuddhi. If only all of us can truthfully follow Tirkarana Shuddhi, Tirkarana Shuddhi, the peaceful message that Islam has expounded by Maulana Hoji Khan is given, there will be peace. We will not have friendly troubles, we will not have love troubles, we will not have home troubles, we will not have one more picture of this country, and all of us can be very, very peaceful. Thank you very much. Islam and Muslim or the Arabic nomenclature. What do these terms mean literally in Hindi, English and English?
What does Islam and Muslim mean in Hindi and English? Equivalent to
that. That's just not the teacher.
Right to whom the question is to explain this.
Some gentlemen want to know what the literal meaning of Islam and Muslims. These both are Arabic words. Islam means to surrender. Surrendering is the Islamic way of life. Surrender to God. Or submission to God. Submission and surrender is the literal meaning of Islam. And Muslim means one who surrenders. One who adopts this religion of submission is a Muslim. This is the literal meaning of Islam.
One more question. Why there is no evolution, like in other religions, towards the spirituality? Why noble Islam is not inspiring Muslims?
I think there are two different images of Islam, paper image and real image. If you see if you take the image of, if you take media image of Islam, then you will say like this. Because media is the industry of selective news. Media always selects sensational news. There are so many other aspects of Islam, other activities of Islam, but these are not reflected in media. For example, here in Hyderabad, Habib Bhai have established a center, peace, center of peace and spirituality, but it was not reported in media. Maulana Ishaq and others have established a college for girls. It's a beautiful college. It's a very, very beautiful college for education, for Muslims, education for girls. But it was never reported in media. So everywhere there are so many activities. But these activities are reported in India, so people are unaware. They know only those items, sensational items, that are reported in media. So there are two different things, media image and real image. So in every society, there are different kind of people. Some bad, some good. So it's a life. It is life. Without these differences, there is no struggle, no competition, no challenge. So I'm not afraid that there are different elements in the Muslim society. These differences create challenge. And challenge creates competition. And it's competition that leads to development.
One more question. When and how or during which period did the true values of Islam were bypassed or struck to be the one which the world believes as one which is not a tolerant religion anymore?
I think this is a distinct phenomenon. It developed during colonial period. Previously, this phenomenon could not fight. There are fighting in previous periods, but those fighting were between kings, between rajas. Masses were not involved in these things. It is a recent phenomenon that masses are involved. So I can say that this kind of integration erupted in Muslim society only in recent days. Previously it was not.
There is a question which is, I don't feel it's very relevant, but then whether there is any move in India to collect zakat and distribute among all the poor in the country, will it not give equality amongst all the Muslims, both rich and poor? The 2.5% amount of the poor, which is with rich, if distributed, will create harmony among all. Why not such lectures and discussions as held today now can be continued in all cities and towns for creating communal harmony?
There is no country-wide system of zakat. There are some funds in the name of zakat, but these funds are very small. I don't know any organization that you can say that is a national organization. Only some small funds.
There is one appreciation that today's Friday has presented a totally different picture of Islam than some of the bloody Fridays we see in India and other countries. He is very glad to appreciate based on the appreciation. There's one more. As you said now regarding true Islam, if the present proxy war is going in the name of Jihad, is it not the responsibility of the true Islam mosque to outrightly condemn it and expose their activities openly so that they further not indulge in such activities in the name of Islam? Please clarify.
You have heard that I have condemned openly. Why you say like this? In paper, in media, in meetings like this, I condemn these activities. I openly say that it's not Islamic activity. So there is no declaration.
May I add one thing?
Yeah.
Maulana ji,
if you suffer me. There are never so many demonstrations for Palestinian right to return, refugees return to Israel, against Bush, against India's policy on Iran, voting, etc. Why is there not one demonstration that Muslims should not illegally cleanse all the Hindus from Kashmir? Why is there not one fatwa? There are so many fatwas issued and so many we hear. But why is it that it is not only one Maulana that is available here in India? There are hundreds, possibly thousands. Why can't they come out and say, what you are doing is un-Islamic? Mahatma Gandhi said, when some Brahmins opposed and said that uncontrollability is sanctioned by the Vedas, Gandhiji said, I reject the Vedas. I reject the Vedas even if they are sanctioned because it is inhuman. Just like Prophet Muhammad said, it is human to reject the devil. That is what God says. Why can't we, such bold people, learned people like you, so many Maulana, so many learned people over here, organize a demonstration saying it is wrong? But there are so many demonstrations for so many things, for reservations, for this, for that, etc., etc. Why not one demonstration in favor of the poor 350,000 Hindus who have been expelled from Kashmir?
You know, Gandhi was one. So also Maulana is one. I have a better position. Because Gandhi was killed, I am alive. So I am better than Gandhi.
There is one question about gender injustice that is happening in among Muslims, about talaq and all that. Why can't there be any modern policies that can be brought about?
There is a misunderstanding about gender equality. Islam believes in gender equality. This is a very beautiful expression of this concept. There is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, read, An-Nisa'u Shaqaiqu Rijal. An-Nisa'u Shaqaiqu Rijal. It means man and woman are two equal half of a single unit. What a beautiful expression of gender equality.
There is one
conception.
Wherever Muslims are in minority, they glorify secularism. Wherever they are in majority, they struggle for Islamic State.
I have condemned this contradictory stand several times. I condemn those Muslims who have adopted double standard, one double standard. I love secularism. I always say that secularism is not a formula. Why? Secularism is a natural formula, so Islam. I believe that Islam is a religion of nature. So I believe that separate Islamic formula, because it's formula of nature.
Yeah, there's one more. When Bush has come to India, I mean Hyderabad, there were the rallies. And likewise, why can't Muslim stage rallies against the insurgency to send a message to the militants that come what may, nobody can attack our country. This will go a long way to send a right message to restore peace.
That was nonsense.
That was nonsense. That is, the demonstrations against Bush were nonsense.
Yes, I feel like this.
Okay.
I feel like this.
Is nonsense.
Because it was upon government to say, it was Bush visited India at the invitation of government. So he was our guest. So why this demonstration? He was guest. He visited India as a guest. State guest. So why this demonstration?
There are two quotations from Quran. No friendship with the kafirs. Kafirs are open enemies. He wants your explanation for this.
There is an expression in Quran that there should be no friendship with kafirs. And kafirs are enemies. So is it true?
No.
This is Surah 3, Ayat 28. Surah 3, Ayat 28.
No, this is about enemies. not about insan. No. You have to read the whole Quran. You know, simply...
Please. Excuse me, I cannot allow any questions directly. If you want, you can send, and I have already collected, and this is the end. I cannot allow any more questions. Please. There is one more question. How many wars did Prophet Muhammad fight in his lifetime? Was each of those wars to further the cause of peace and coexistence?
Only three wars. Badr, Hunayn, and Uhud.
One more question. Many Islamic terrorists claim they are only practicing in letter and spirit what Islam preaches. Those Islamic terrorists are not small in number. Doesn't it suggest that Islam is seriously prone to misunderstanding?
There are misunderstanding about every religion, every system, even about our constitution. Misunderstanding is a universal phenomenon. You have to read the book, you have to read the constitution. You have to go through the Quran. This is the only way of understanding the Quran or any other religion.
There is a question that besides or adjacent to every masjid, there is a temple. Or besides every Hindu temple, there is a masjid. So what is the plan behind? They are asking.
Yes, sorry.
Temple and Hindu temple and a masjid, both are side by side in most of the places.
Okay.
What is the plan behind?
What the intention?
I'm not aware of this fact. I don't know.
We have completed the questions, and I request Dr. Chaudhary to conclude the meeting.
Once again, I want to thank all of you for such a very patient and understanding hearing, and expositions like what Maulanaji has given about Quran are the need of our every day, almost every day in every city. Because what conditions to open peace must be encouraged. And even if something is there which may be in any one of the sacred books, but that which is likely to be misinterpreted to generate hatred, that should be underplayed. Only that interpretation must be propagated, which modernity has been an exposition of. Peaceful coexistence, that's what nature and God has intended, plurality, that is what is to be promoted. Let us hope that there will be thousands of modernists in this great land of future.
I asked these questions.
That is wonderful. Because spirituality
is different
from the mature spirit. I think that